Oh, from the Seychelles. We have a church on the Seychelles Island, Grace and Peace Baptist Church. And in fact, they are members of Baptist Union of Southern Africa. And we have been sending our pastors there to help the church. So the church is, I think it's Victoria, the capital. So I trust you will visit the church. One of our pastors from Cape Town is going there in June, July. Pastor Dion Milan and his wife will be there on the island ministering. And so good to hear that there's someone here from Seychelles. Now, I want to thank you for the opportunity. Pastor Sean, thank you. God has blessed you with a super pastoral couple, a vibrant pastoral couple. And I'm sure you've been blessed through their ministry. And I want to say to you that you've got one of our choice South African pastoral couples here. And I was thrilled to hear what God has done in the church and the way God has undertaken. And I've never seen him as happy as he is here. He's very happy in Australia. So thank you for your ministry, even to them as a family. And I trust that as a result of the ministry, there will be quite a few, many who will come to Jesus as Lord and Savior. So thank you, Pastor Sean and Samantha, and God bless you in what you're doing. I want us to go to the Word of God, and let us just turn our thoughts to God in prayer as we pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Your Word is truth, and we pray now that you would grant that the words of our mouth, of my mouth, and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable unto you, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm sure you read together Genesis chapter 18, and it's quite an interesting story. There were three men who came to visit Abraham, and we're told that when Abraham met them at the entrance to the tent, he fell down on the ground. Now, that was really something. Abraham realized that these were not just three ordinary visitors, and he recognized that here was someone special amongst these visitors. Now, what we have here in Genesis 18, and the rest, we're told that he prepared a fatted calf and some bread for them, and entertained them, washed their feet, and so on. But what we have here in Genesis 18 is actually what is called a theophany. It is a manifestation of God. Because when we read in the scriptures and in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, we read that, "Then the Lord said to them." Then the Lord. Now, the three men, in fact, as you will read further, was the second person of the Trinity and two angels that came to visit Abram at this time. It wasn't God the Father, because the Word makes it clear in John 1 verse 18, "No man has seen God, but the God, the one and only who is in the Father's side, has made him known." Jesus made the Father known. And I think what we need to be reminded is that Jesus didn't come into being only at Christmas time. He was with the Father in the beginning. You remember Genesis 1:26. And so God said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." And who was us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we are told also in John 1 and verse 1 to 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that had been made." And so Jesus didn't only come into being in Christmas time. Now that's the miracle of Christmas, when God the Son became a man. And so we find in the Old Testament, you will find sporadic appearances of the second person of the Trinity. For example, in Joshua chapter 5, he is referred to as the commander of the army of the Lord. In the book of Daniel, you remember the words of the king. He said, were there not three men cast into the fire? But I see four. And remember the king said, he said, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And in fact, it was the Son of God. And so here in Genesis 18 and verse 13, listen what verse 13 of our reading said. It doesn't say, then the man asked. It says, but the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And so here was the Lord himself, the second person of the Trinity. Now, when you read a little further in Genesis 18 and 19, you will find that the two that were accompanying the Lord were actually two angels who were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah to warn them that God was going to destroy the city. So here was a divine visit. Here was a manifestation, personal manifestation of God. Now, the title and the theme of the sermon are suggested by the question in verse 14. And the question that the Lord asks in verse 14, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything impossible for the Lord? Now, here was the second member of the Trinity asking Abram and Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? There were many requests for prayer. And I think this is a timeless word of the Lord. And the question that is raised in the light of all the prayer requests, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? And our response to it will reveal our estimate of the power of God and also the extent of our faith in God. Now, I want to say to you in these days, many of God's people are often discouraged, despondent, and filled with doubt. That this ought not to be, for discouragement always comes from the devil. Despondency paralyzes us for useful service, and doubt dishonors the Lord. And the circumstances in which this question, is anything too hard for the Lord, was asked, was brought before us in Genesis 15 to 19 and Genesis 21. Here was a problem. Abram was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. Listen what Genesis 18 verse 11 says. Abram and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Abram and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. But God had made a promise to them. God had said, through your son the nations will be blessed. But here, there was no child yet, and humanly speaking, it was impossible for Sarah to bear a child at 90 years of age. Now we're told in scripture that at first, Abram laughed at the idea. If you look at Genesis 17:17, Abram laughed. But afterwards, here in chapter 18 and verse 12, we're told that Sarah also laughed. And it was then that the Lord himself said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now I want to say to you, I want to share with you just a few things that I would like you to consider as we focus on Genesis 18 and verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we will see in scripture how our God loves to do hard things. Things which are impossible by man, but very possible with God. The first thing I want to say to you is, there is no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. There is no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. Did you know that there are plus minus 30,000 promises in the Bible? All of which are yea and amen in Christ. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says. Listen what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, The amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That's quite a verse. It says we can say amen to the promises of God. And did you know that God's promises are actually promises to the child of God? Listen to what 2 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4 says. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory, His own glory and goodness. Now listen, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Well, that's an amazing text. He says God's promises have actually been given to us so that we can participate in the divine nature. God's promises are all absolutely sure. Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And my brother and sister, every promise that God has made will be fulfilled. And there is a promise to meet your and my every needs. When one goes through scripture, you remember that God promised in Joshua that the walls of Jericho will fall. Because when the Israelites entered the promised land, one of the first challenges was the walled city of Jericho. And God promised that that city was going to fall. And if you go to Israel, you can still see some of the bastions of those walls. This was a hard thing. And remember what God told Joshua? Walk around the city 6 times. And the 7th time when you walk around, shout! Because the Lord has given you, will give you the city. Did it not happen? Of course it did. You would remember God promised to feed Elijah through birds, through ravens at Brook Cherith, and through a widow at a place called Zarephath. This was a hard thing. But read the story for yourself in 1 Kings chapter 17. It actually happened. Remember that God promised that Mary would bring forth a son, even though she never knew a man. This was a hard thing. But God fulfilled His promise, and you can read that in Luke chapter 1. And I want to say to you, we can all stand on the promises of God. Someone had said that many believers are sitting on the premises rather than standing on the promises. Mary and Joseph could stand on the promises of God. And God fulfilled His promise to Abraham that his seed would continue. And you know what? We sitting here this morning are part of the answer. And all of us this morning can sing that chorus. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. The second thing I want to share with you is not only is there no promise too hard for God to answer, I want to say to you that there is no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. There is no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. One of the great prayer promises in the Bible is Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call to me and I will answer and tell you great unsearchable things you do not know. And the word unsearchable in the NIV can be translated hidden, fenced in, or hard things. The Lord loves to answer hard prayers. And in every situation and circumstance of life, He invites us to pray. And He promises to answer our prayers. What a hard thing it was, humanly speaking, to give Abraham and Sarah a child. Biologically speaking, it was impossible at their age. Yet their prayer was answered. You remember on Mount Carmel, the contest between Elijah and over 800 prophets of Baal. You remember how Elijah challenged them and said, let's build an altar, let's make a fire, and let's build an altar, and let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And you remember how the prophets of Baal cried there and how they went on chanting. Absolutely nothing happened. Then it came to Elijah's turn, and Elijah said to his servants, wet those fires. Pour buckets of water on them. And then he called upon the name of the true God. And the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 18 that the fire consumed the altar, the stones, the wood, everything. Elijah's prayer was answered. One praying man is a majority with God. One praying man is a majority with God. Now I want to say to you that prayer is still God's way out of hard and baffling situations. So don't give up. Go on praying for God's answer to your needs. Now I want to say to you that God has got three answers to prayer. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. But most of the time, God's answer is wait. You know what's our problem? We live in a fast-moving world, and no one likes to wait anymore. We want everything in a hurry. But we need to remind ourselves of Isaiah 40 and verse 30 to 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. We need to learn again the secret of waiting upon the Lord. God heard Abram's prayer for the continuation of his seed. God heard Elizabeth's prayer with regard to the coming of John the Baptist. God hears Mary's prayer with regard to the coming Messiah. And God hears our prayer. I think the question is, are we ready for the answer? The third thing I want you to notice and share with you, not only is there no promise too hard for God to fulfill, not only is there no prayer too hard for God to answer, but I want to say to you, there is no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. There is no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. When we read Genesis 21 verse 1 to 6 with the birth of Isaac, God solved Abram and Sarah's problem. Probably you have a problem which you've been trying to solve by yourself and you failed. Well, ask the Lord to solve it for you. God can and God will perform a miracle for you if it is within His will and His glory to do so. We still serve a miracle working God, and nothing was too hard for Him. The Bible is full of examples of how His power was exercised in the solution to His people's problems. Let me just bring a few to your attention. You remember He enabled 2 million people to pass through the Red Sea unarmed and on dry land. He provided water out of a rock for them in the desert. He stilled the storm, Matthew chapter 4. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Matthew 14. He raised the dead, John 11. He performed the miracle in the life of Abram and Sarah, Genesis 18. He performed the miracle in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we can go on and on. And what He did then, He can do today. The chorus writer reminds us, says, God can do it again and again and again. He is the same God today as He always has been. Yesterday, today, now, forever the same. There's no reason to doubt. God can do it again. Have we so soon forgotten similar miracles in our day and generation and the miracles that God has performed in our own lives? God is still the sovereign and omnipotent God. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got Australia in His hands. He's got Melbourne in His hands. He's got Brighton Baptist in His hands. He's got you and me, brother and sister, in His hands. The fourth thing I'd like to share with you is not only is there no problem too hard for the Lord to solve, but there's no place too hard for the Lord to revive. There is no place too hard for the Lord to revive. I often hear pastors and leaders and members remark, the work is very hard, it's going down terribly, it'll never be the same again. But why should we accept this defeatist attitude when our God is the God of the impossible? And often I have to say to pastors, is your church a dying cause? Does nothing seem to happen? Do no conversions take place? Do few people gather for prayer? Why don't you alter the situation? Because listen what God says in Isaiah 43 verse 19. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I was the general secretary, as you heard, of Baptist Union. And we have something like 580 churches in South Africa. And I remember, and I think Pastor Sean will also remember, that we were called to a church somewhere in Natal. And the three of us were always together, Nelson and George, from Baptist Union. And the three of us went to meet with the leadership. And the leadership called us and said, we're glad you're here. We're 9 members. We are down to 9 members. Constitutionally, we don't have the right to exist anymore. Here is the building. Here are the classrooms. Here are the instruments. Please take it, sell it, and do with it what you see fit. And you know what? We said no. We don't believe in the business of closing churches. You can close buildings, but not congregations. And we said, we're not here in the business. God has blessed you with a facility. You're sitting with the mission field here outside the church. And we said to them, give us time to think it through and pray it through. So we went back to Johannesburg and we said, we'll come back to you. When we travel, as we travel to Johannesburg, the Lord gave to us the name of a person, Jan Geyser, and his wife. And we believe that this is the couple that we need to ask the Lord for to get to Azalea Road Baptist. Well, we met at Baptist house. We called him to a meeting and his wife, and we paid for their transport. And then we said, we believe that you are the couple to go to Azalea Road. And all three of us are agreed. He was taken aback because he didn't want to leave what he was doing. He then went home, and 2 weeks after that, he called me and he said, you know what? I've not slept since that meeting. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he said, when can we go down to meet with the last 9 people? And we said, well, tell us when you're ready and we will arrange it. And he went down to meet with the people. And guess what? He sends the call of the Lord there. And the work grew within the space of 6 months from 9 to 60. There is no place too hard for God to revive. I think we need to remind ourselves, the church is not man's work. The church doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. And he said, I will build my church. And not even the gates of hell are going to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. I don't believe in the closing of churches. I believe that if we get to that point, something's wrong. And we need to say, God, will you not revive us again? And so, I want to say to you finally, that there is no person too hard for the Lord to save. There is no person too hard for the Lord to save. Thank the Lord that Hebrews 7 verse 25 is still true. Listen what Hebrews 7 verse 25 says. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. You know what's our problem? Sometimes we doubt God's ability to save people. And we look at certain cases as hard and even impossible. And sometimes we even write people off. You know, in Afrikaans, we got a saying, so gemaak en so gelaat staan. And sometimes we doubt that God can even save people. Remember the woman who lived a sinful life, was rejected by the Pharisees. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, poured the contents of Jesus' feet, and the Lord wonderfully saved her. Remember the woman who was caught in an act of adultery in John chapter 8. And you remember, according to the law of Moses, she was supposed to be stoned to death. And when Jesus arrived on the scene, he says, let anyone who has not sinned cast the first stone. And then he went down and he wrote in the sand. We're not told how long. But when he came up from writing in the sand, they were all gone. And he said to the woman, has no one condemned you? And she said, no, sir. And he said, neither do I, but go and stop your nonsense. You remember a condemned criminal was gloriously converted in his dying hour. And he said, Lord, please remember me. And what did he say? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Remember Saul, the persecutor of God's church, who was humbled to the dust. And now God saved him. You remember in Acts chapter 16, the jailer and his family were converted. There is no person too hard for the Lord to save. I want to tell you that my late mom prayed for 20 years for my late dad to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. 20 years. She never ceased to pray. And God answered the prayer. And he came to the Lord in his late 50s. And you know what? God spared him till 82 years of age. He spent 30 years as a child of God. My mother prayed for him. We prayed for him. And I want to say to you, there is no spouse too hard for the Lord to save. There is no child too hard for the Lord to save. Even our children who've gone wayward, who have drifted from God, there is no child too hard for the Lord to save. So I conclude. There's no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. There's no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. There's no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. There's no place too hard for the Lord to revive. There's no person too hard for the Lord to save. And may I add, there is no marriage too hard for the Lord to revive. There is no illness too hard for the Lord to heal. There is no need too great for the Lord to provide for. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What's your answer? You remember that song that Dallas Holmes sings? He says, there's no problem too big that God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall that he cannot move it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, then my brother and sister, he can carry you. Now you know what? The same Jesus who met with Abram and Sarah and with the two angels in Genesis 18, that same Jesus is here this morning. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. And the same Jesus this morning says to you and me, is anything too hard for the Lord? What's your response? Let's turn our thoughts to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And we thank you again for speaking to us and showing us that there is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. There's no place too hard for God to revive. There's no person too hard for God to save. And sometimes, Lord, we doubt. Forgive us. And this morning I want to say to you, if God has spoken to you and God has raised the question to you this morning, no matter what you're going through, is anything too hard for the Lord? And if this morning you say, yes, Lord, no, Lord, I don't believe that anything is too hard for you. I believe you can. God has spoken to say, yes, Lord, you know my need, and I believe you can. You need to be like the man who said, Lord, I believe, please help my unbelief. And if you believe this morning that God can and that God will help you to solve whatever you're going through, please stand. And I want to pray for you. Yes, Lord, I believe you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, say, yes, Lord, you know my life, you know what I'm facing, you know what I'm going through. And this morning, I believe you can. We sang that song, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. And this morning he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? If not, and you say, yes, Lord, I believe, nothing's too hard for you, please stand. And let us pray and thank God that there is nothing that's too hard or impossible for him. God bless you. For those of us standing, or the others who want to stand, before we pray, Pastor Sean is going to lead us in prayer. God bless you. 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 Anybody else? Before we pray.
Father, even as we bring each one that's standing before you right now, Lord, you know our hearts. I commit them to you in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to ask that you just bear with me for a few minutes. I just want to lay hands on some of these folk here this morning. And please just bear with me because I want to speak into their souls today.